So what an honor it is to talk about the Father. Right? Like, I know what Bud said that last week. I was like, wow, it is an honor to talk about the Father. For me, knowing the Father has probably been the biggest change in my life with my relationship with him. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. I probably say that every time I come up here, huh? Everything that I've gone through has been the biggest change. But I'm telling you, he makes changes in your life. But I have noticed in my life the difference in relating with him differently, and how he's revealed more of himself to me because of me repairing my relationship with my Father, or him healing me. So Jesus said, our Father, right? Who is Father? He's the life giver. I think that's what Bruce was talking about, the life giver. He's the authority, the powerful protector, often viewed as immense, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, right? Omnipresent, with us all the time, with infinite power and love. It's hard to describe the Father, isn't it? But we yearn for the Father's love. I came across this quote, and it's by A.W. Tozer. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So you got 5 seconds. No, I'll give you a little bit more. When you think about God, your Father, what comes to your mind? Who is God the Father to you? Is he all those things I said at first? Is he loving, kind, compassionate, giving, faithful, merciful? The list goes on of who he is. Or is he, I loved it because Bill Johnson spoke, we're on Wednesday nights, he spoke about Jesus revealing the Father. And he said that, Bill said that he always thought God was like the mean one. And Jesus was the cool one. And I was like, hey, I think that's how I always kind of viewed God. Because you read the Old Testament, right? And he's just wiping out this city, get rid of them. You know, and I was like, oh. You know, and Jesus was just cool. Because then you start reading about Jesus and how he heals everybody and how he speaks life to everybody. And you're like, okay, I want to go to that. But do you see how it's already created a mindset in me? How you think about God is the most important thing to you. Because if you are flawed in your thinking about the Father, you'll be flawed in living your life. If you misjudge who he is, and guys, I can't even touch this much of who God is. But if you misjudge who he is, you will misrepresent him here. You'll misrepresent him. Is God impersonal to you? Do you guys ever think of him just as being a big old being somewhere way out there that you really cannot relate with? Is he a scorekeeper? The judge? Is he keeping score? Is he angry and mean to you? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. No, sorry. Got off a little bit there. That was Santa, right? But I always used to think that if I had to do everything right, and if I was living this life of constant, like, he's gonna zap me. Is he angry and mean? Is he a butler to you? And what I mean by that is, anytime you talk to him, it's just, I need, I need, I need. Can you bring me? Can you do this for me? And that's the only relationship you have. Just stirring up some things. Or is he your love? I loved singing the song, "You're Beautiful." You're beautiful. Now I can't find it. Oh, here it is. I loved what it was saying. To see you rightly. Just as you are. Just as you are. To see him rightly. I was like, this fits right in. He's beautiful. He's so beautiful. He's fascinating. He's captivating. He wins your heart. You become so in love with him. Because every time you turn, oh, you think about his joy. Oh, you're so good. You think about his love. Oh, yes, how you've loved me. Think about his peace. Oh, yes, I love walking in the peace in the midst of the storm. Oh, you just go on to every part of who he is. You're just so beautiful and good. So they say that your view of God is based on your earthly father. Okay? Now, all of us have such different stories. Okay? We all have such different stories. Some of our fathers have been absent, either by death. My father died when I was 19. Divorce. Your father might not be in the picture because of divorce. He might have been abusive, verbally, physically. He might have been just a passive father, just not active in your life. Or he might have been a great father. He might have been a great father, empowering you, you know, recognizing when you're at your best, when you're at your worst, encouraging you, lifting. You might have had that, but there is some point in there where you have developed thoughts about God, and that is the most important thing about who we are. A.W. Tozer does move on to say, we tend by secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. So the most important thing about us is knowing what you think about him. And then you tend, like I'm saying, whether it's the negative or the positive, you tend to move towards that mental image. Now there's amazing hope. There's such amazing hope because of who God is. I don't want to knock on fathers. That's not what I knock on, make you think, oh man, I was a terrible dad. I didn't give. Start now. I don't care if you're 70. Start now. Love on your kids. Love on your grandkids. But just to make you aware that you could have some misinterpretations of who God is, because, and it might not even have been your father, because if your father was absent, it might have been another authority figure in your life that you've learned, okay? But I think we've created, you know, this fatherless life. Could you be in church, grow up your whole life in a Pentecostal, spirit-filled, bouncing off the wall, and not know your father? They even have named a fatherless generation, haven't they? They said there's a fatherless generation. And I believe because of that, we're now facing some of the biggest uncertainty. There's such a lack of confidence. There's such a lack of identity. Oh my goodness. There's such a lack of identity. You can be anything. There's such a lack of self-worth. It's aimlessness. It's just whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, just, and you won't be happy. But anyway, there's such anger. I don't know if I have ever felt so much anger between people. And there's relational conflict. And this, all these things tie back to fatherlessness. And because of these views of God, we might not be living in the abundant life and freedom that God has always wanted his children to have. This is why God sent Jesus. His main purpose, Jesus's main purpose, was to reveal the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is the exact representation of the Father. Jesus said that he, the Father, would give another helper, and other ones say advocate, the Holy Spirit, to us. Wednesday night, we learned that the word another means one that is exactly the same. So we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that are in us to create in us that image, right? To see him as he is. To know him as he is. So in Romans 8, 14 to 16, it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Because of the Holy Spirit being in you, because you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, you no longer have to be a slave to the word divorce, a slave to the word death, a slave to the word abuse. Guys, it's real. The pain is real. The hurt is real. But it doesn't have to define you. I'm not saying it's not real and just, oh, it's not there. No, it's real. It hurts. It's going to make you cry. But don't let it define you. Don't become a victim to your pain. Don't let it become a victim to your abuse. And you might need help walking through some of this. Perfect love casts out all fear, doesn't it? It says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery, a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. When you know the Father, he's come to live in you, he's going to set you free from those fears of pain, abuse, of whatever it might be, something your teacher said that has defined you. It says, you have not received a spirit, or you have received a spirit of adoption as sons. That's awesome. We are now his son. He made a way that we could be his son. And I love how it says, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You'll know you're his kid when your heart says, Daddy. I love it when my girls are even, 20 plus, and they're all like, Daddy. And I just love it. Because it's a term of endearment. You don't say it just to anybody and everybody. But when that love is there. I love what the Passion says about that end part. It says, for the Holy Spirit makes God God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, "You are God's beloved child." The Father said to Jesus, right? He was well pleased with his son. When he came up out of the water, right, he says, "I am well pleased with you." Had Jesus done one miracle? Had he done anything yet? Just be with him, right? God wants to heal you. He wants to destroy the lies that limit you, that hold you back, break you free from fear. Now, when I said this changed me, I'll tell you a little bit of my testimony. I went to the Supernatural School of Ministry here when we had it, I don't even know, 10 years ago, maybe somewhere in there. And I was bound and determined to develop my relationship with Father God, with God. So every time that I would close my eyes, I like to envision things. I use my imagination. So I would close my eyes and I would pretend I was going to be with my father. And God always turned into my father, my earthly father. And I was like, no, no, no. It's almost like I didn't want that one. My dad was a good dad. But I was like, no, I wanted God. And then I would just weep. And I would weep and I would weep. And then I was like, God, what are you doing to me? He's like, I'm healing you. And I mean, these were like, sometimes I would come up, grab a Kleenex, and I would double over with weeping because he was healing those deep things in me that I picked up from my dad. See, my dad, He was so fun-loving, but I think when he had a long day, if he came home and there was clothes in the bathroom, he'd be like, Lori, how come these clothes? And I'm like, they're my brothers. I don't care, get them out, you know. So I kind of picked up this performance. I wanted to please my dad to get his approval. And when I would just weep, I would be like, what are you? He's just like, and then I could find myself sitting by my dad and just holding his hand. We walked through, I probably went through 6 months to a year of experiencing these different things and him just showing me different aspects of how I viewed my father and how he wanted to just heal my heart. Because like even when my dad got sick, I felt like I didn't pray enough for him. I didn't go, and he just healed that part of me. He brought, but it was when I was purposing to just spend time with the Father. So he does. He wants to heal you of the abandonment if your father left you. And what does he say? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The abuse, if it was verbal abuse or if it was physical abuse, he is the opposite. He sings over you. His thoughts of love are more than the sands of the seas. Of love towards you. That's a lot. That's a lot of love flowing your way. And it brings the healing that you so desire. I've learned to not be so performance-based. I used to be like, I didn't read my Bible and I didn't pray this week, so I can't go pray for anybody to be healed. Anytime you have to do something for God to do something, it's performance-based. That's why be careful with fasting. If you're fasting for something, now I recognize when God says to me, fast or to take this time out, it's to go be with him because he wants to speak to me about that situation Or I'm choosing to say, hey, I'm going to step, girls, I'm stepping away, don't bother me, going in my room, and I'm going to just seek him. So he broke that off of me, and he wants you to be free. That's why he sent Jesus, to take our sin upon him and die so that we could live free, free from fears, free from the lies that hold us back, free from the little limitations that hold us back, free from not being able to love or relate. Because sometimes we try to bury it, right? Cover it up. But what happens? It shows up in our relationships. Shows up in your marriage. That's why be whole before you get married. Because it will come out. Huh, honey? I think it's all part of life, too, and growing together and loving together. But he does want you healed. So what I would like to do is if I would like to invite you to sit in the front row. You can even sit where you're at. But just close your eyes if you want to close your eyes and just ask. He says ask, right? Ask him. Seek him. He's going to reward you with him. And you might not have anything right now, or he might not be showing you that you have this big hole or this big gap. But I just wanted to point it out and how my relationship with him has changed so much, because I've lost some of these things that hold me back. Sometimes they want to try to come back on, but I'm like, oh no, I remember the freedom I have without them. I remember the life that I feel without them. So I would just, I don't know, Travis, if you have something soft or whatever, but maybe we could just take some time before we go into prayer. And if you want prayer for the Father's love, you can come forward. But otherwise, we'll just give a few minutes of time. Just spend time with the Father. Allow him to show you his beauty. Yep. To show you his goodness. And if there is a, if you know there's a gaping wound on you, because you know what? We all have scars. I just hope they're healed up. Because could you imagine if you had a gaping wound on you? That means every time somebody brushes and hits it, you're like, ah, and it rips open and starts bleeding again. He wants to heal you. That's the gospel. He wants you free.